is thy faithfulness. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God who never changes? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what a rock to stand upon. Amen. As far as announcements, we don't really have too much new. I do encourage you to come to Sunday school on a weekly basis, and we've started a new fellowship before Sunday school. 20 minutes beforehand, we have donuts and coffee, and so a good time to get together and have fellowship and prepare ourselves even for Sunday school. So I encourage you along those lines. We have Bible studies on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we've been working through the Constitution. I encourage you to come there as well. We're getting close to having that all finalized, and so keep that in mind also. Otherwise, I think we're ready for prayer, and then into our song service we go. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Even though thank you for the blessings of this afternoon, especially as we went to the nursing home and were able to chat with the older folks. I do thank you that you care about even the widows and the fatherless. And I do pray that we'd have a burden and a compassion for those who are less fortunate than we are. So I thank you for Nordville Baptist Church. Thank you for bringing us together as a group of believers. Thank you that we can worship you in spirit and truth. As we look into your word, I pray that you'd help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And so I do pray that you'd bless this time together. Help us to have our focus upon you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand up and sing 43. Testimony? Yeah, Joy?
I've had a job for 2 months, but I haven't had any clients. So it's been pretty rough waiting patiently on the board.
Yeah.
But it comes through every time because it's just in the nick of time.
It's true. Let me ask you a question then regarding that. Has he ever not been faithful to you in the past?
Never.
And so because of that, you have a hope that he'll be faithful in the future. I was thinking about this morning as Pastor was talking about storms and such, that he called them acts of God, even floods, called them acts of God. And I thought to myself, that's really interesting, considering that we got flooded out of our home a few months ago. Well, it was a month ago now. And you know what? That was an act of God. And I thought of that. You know what? He knew exactly what he's doing. when he did that. And I can tell already how he has worked in my life personally in that, and in many other ways as well. He was faithful even in that. Anybody else want to give a testimony before you start? Yes, Melissa.
Well, me and my husband have been like without jobs since May, and I was in the last 2 years, and then he got a full-time job started.
Right, great. Yeah, that is an amazing thing to be thankful for. It's good to be able to work. Good. All right. Well, let's sing that third and final verse, Pardon for Sin and a Peace that Endureth. And as you do so, turn to 382, a favorite of mine, personally, Be Thou My Vision. Back a couple pages then to 378, Only One Life. Today is Grandparents' Day, and the sermon, I think, as it says here, will be passing on a godly heritage in reference to grandparents. And it speaks to having only one life. We don't get a second shot at raising those children or grandchildren. We only get one. And so you have to make those decisions every single day as they pass to pass on a godly heritage. So we're going to sing 378. turning to 400. 400. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. You have to question yourself because our hearts are so deceptive. The human heart is deceptive above all. Who can know it, it says. We can't even know our own hearts. And I even think of myself. You know, I say that I want to be like Jesus every day, and I even think that to myself, but even subconsciously, even not without even thinking about it, ingrained in my life, as Paul says, I have something warring within me. There are a lot of times when I want something else. There are a lot of times when rather than wanting to be like Jesus in a certain moment, I'd rather have something else. Rather than doing the right thing at that moment, loving my wife, I'd rather have the second cheeseburger or something like that. Anything like that. It just happens. And that's why we have to be on our guard every moment, as we sang earlier, that I only have this hour. We have to decide every moment, moment by moment. All right, let's turn to 395. 395. Do you? Good. I did too. We'll have to sing it some more. 387 then. 387. And we might have time for a favorite as well. So we'll be thinking about that as we sing 387. Oh, to be like... to have their favorite song. I think Joy was looking really hard through her book. 56? Day by Day. Can we all stand together as a soul? listening to me, and I hope it was for you as well. You can be seated.
Amen. Day by day. Truly, our life is a day-by-day thing, isn't it? And day-by-day, we need to be trusting in the Lord, leaning upon Him. He is faithful. He'll never let us down. We just need to cast all our cares upon Him because He truly cares for us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us. We thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that in Him we have eternal life and hope and joy. Do thank You that You care about us. Do pray even as we look into Your Word, I pray that we'd be encouraged and challenged. Help us to become more like Your Son. Help us to have that desire. And so I do thank You for bringing us here this evening. I pray that You would minister to each one that is here this evening. And I pray that You'd even minister to those that are not able to be with us. And so I do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a special day. We've already alluded to it. How many know what special day today is? How carefully were you listening to Stephen? It's Grandparents' Day. Now, I wouldn't have known that unless I would have noticed it on the calendar. Because, you know, Grandparents' Day isn't highly publicized like Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's kind of a under-the-radar type holiday, isn't it? Now, raise your hand if you're a grandparent. I'm just curious. Wow, you know, about three-quarters of the congregation are grandparents. Praise the Lord for that. Now, did any of your grandkids treat you to something special on Grandparents' Day? I'm just curious. Hey, wonderful. Praise the Lord. So it's not an altogether forgotten holiday. Praise the Lord for that. Who knows any background about Grandparents' Day? Any idea as far as how it came into being?
Hallmark made it money.
Well, Hallmark definitely benefited from this. But Hallmark really benefits from Grandparents' Day and Mother's Day, Father's Day, all those things. But, you know, there's a little more to it than that. And let me tell you what I found on the Grandparents' Day website. They actually have a website. And the day has a threefold purpose, according to the website. First of all, to honor grandparents. Secondly, to give grandparents an opportunity to show love for their children's children. And thirdly, to help children become aware of the strength, information, and guidance older people can offer. Here's a little bit of history here about Grandparents' Day. In 1970, a West Virginia housewife, her name was Marion Lucille Herndon McQuaid, rather long name, Marion Lucille Herndon McQuaid, initiated a campaign to set aside a special day just for grandparents. Through concerted efforts on the part of civic, business, church, and political leaders, this campaign expanded statewide. Senator Jennings Randolph, senator from West Virginia, was especially instrumental in the project. The first Grandparents' Day was proclaimed in 1973 in West Virginia by Governor Arch Moore. Also in 1973, Senator Randolph introduced a Grandparents' Day resolution in the United States Senate. The resolution languished in the committee. Now, Mrs. McQuaid and her team turned to the media to garner support. They also began contacting governors and senators and congressmen in every state. And they sent letters to churches and businesses and numerous national organizations that have an interest in senior citizens. And so in 1978, 5 years after its West Virginia inception, the United States Congress passed legislation proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents' Day. The proclamation was signed by President Jimmy Carter. And September was chosen for the holiday to signify the autumn years of life. And so there's a little bit of history concerning Grandparents' Day. You probably never realized how it came about. It's a relatively recent holiday. Actually, the year that I was born is the year that it came into being, as far as on a national basis. And so it says on the website, today this event, begun only by a few, is observed by millions throughout the United States. And so, yeah, that's a neat day to have. But we recognize, as with Mother's Day and Father's Day, so also with Grandparents' Day, it's not just one day that we appreciate our grandparents. It's every single day. If you're truly an appreciative grandson or granddaughter, you just wave with our moms and our dads. We appreciate them every day. At least we should. It's not just one day. But still, it's nice to have a special day, isn't it? A special day where you get maybe cards in the mail or whatever other treat the grandparents shower upon you. Think about your grandparents. I'm sure you have fond memories of your grandma, your grandpa, or maybe your nana or papa, however you called them. Now, whenever I think of my grandparents, and we just called my grandma, grandma, you know, and my grandpa, grandpa. We're a little bit old-fashioned as far as that, perhaps. I don't know. But I think of every Christmas when I was a child. Every Christmas we'd go to my maternal grandparents' house. And she lived in Illinois. And my mom was part of a big family. I believe family of 8 children, I believe. And so you can imagine 8 you know, there'd be 8 in the family, so I'd have 7 aunts and uncles, and then a lot of cousins. So when all of us got together, it was a house full. Okay, but it was a great time. And we do that year after year after year, going to grandma's for Christmas. Good food, good memories, all types of stuff. On my dad's side, I only knew my grandpa. My grandma passed away earlier. But my paternal grandpa, the thing that I remember about him, among other things, whenever we lived in Onslow, my grandpa would just show up out of the blue. Okay, he didn't give us a call beforehand or anything. You know, he just showed up on the doorstep, and there he is, you know. And we said, well, it's good to see you, Grandpa. And we'd let him stay a few nights or whatever, and then he'd go on his way and go wherever else. He was a traveler. You know, he loved going all over the place. Whenever my dad was younger, in his probably grade school years up to high school, they would take family vacations. They went to the East Coast once. They went to the West, as far as the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, all of those neat sites. They went all over the place. And so my dad has all types of neat pictures that he could show us, slides, all types of good memories. My dad, or my grandpa, went down south to Mexico several times. He rode the train to California. Even when he was in his 90s, I believe, he rode the train to California. And praise the Lord, my grandpa is still alive. I believe he is 98 years old. And praise the Lord for that. He's still living at my aunt's house, not even a nursing home. So praise the Lord for that. A lot of good memories of my grandparents. And I'm sure as you think about your grandparents, you can think of a lot of good memories too. And perhaps your grandparents are still alive. Perhaps they passed on a few years back. But all of those good memories, and especially if your grandparents were believers in Jesus Christ, you can think about how they passed on that godly heritage. From personal experience, praise the Lord, all my grandparents were saved. To my knowledge, all of my aunts and uncles and cousins are saved. And praise the Lord for that godly heritage that started with my grandma and my grandpa, and then passed on down to the kids, and then to the grandkids, and then hopefully to the great-grandkids, and on further down the line. And praise the Lord for that. Whenever we think about spiritual matters, the impact that the grandparents can have. Now, granted, grandparents don't have as much interaction with the kids as the parents do. So we recognize, yes, it's the parents' responsibility to bring up the children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But yet, really, it's the older generation, parents, grandparents included, to bring up those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you think about it, sometimes kids don't want to listen to mom and dad, right? Okay, because there just might be a little bit of tension there. But they might go to grandma or grandpa and go and talk with them because there's a different type of relationship there. So you know what? Grandparents, you are important in the spiritual upbringing of your grandkids. You may not get to see them as much as you would like, but those times that you do see them, how important that is to pass down a godly heritage. What a blessing. And so as I thought about this, thinking about, well, how can we integrate Grandparents Day into the Sunday evening service, I was brought back to the Old Testament. There's much we can learn from the Old Testament, even though it may be directed directly to the children of Israel. But why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4? Deuteronomy chapter 4, we recognize, yes, this is addressed specifically to the nation of Israel, but we can also gain application from this for ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And here we have Moses speaking in verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your hearts all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day which you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you crossed over to possess. How incredible. Just think of this. If you were there with the children of Israel, what you would have witnessed. The great sights you would have seen. And so we have here the children of Israel. They're about ready to enter the promised land. And here Moses is giving them really a second reading of the law. They had been wandering in that wilderness for some 40 years. And they had seen God's mighty hand at work, truly in many ways. They had seen God provide for them, provide for their many needs. And also they had seen the Lord judge when they had disobeyed and rebelled against Him. And so God had revealed to Israel His law. Not only the Ten Commandments, but the whole of the Mosaic Covenant and the Mosaic Law. And Moses had gone up to the mount. He received the law personally. And it was his duty, given to him by the Lord, to teach the children of Israel what the Lord had given to him. How they should live. What the Lord expected of them. And so that's what Moses had done, very faithfully. And Moses encouraged them to obey the law, even whenever they got into the promised land. Now Moses wouldn't be able to go in with them. He had to basically just look on over into the promised land, but he couldn't actually enter in. And so he wouldn't be there to make sure that they did all those things that they should, that they were living as they should. Joshua would go in, be their leader. But as they go into that promised land, there truly was an incentive for them to keep the law. Not only would it bring them great blessings, and they'd have fellowship with the Lord that way, but also, as we just read in our passage here, as they were in the land, they wouldn't be the only ones there, would they? There would be all other types of peoples, nations, that would see them, and they would hear about the things that had happened. And the reports had already gone out of how the Lord had delivered them from the land of Egypt, how the God that the Israelites served was so much more powerful than even the Egyptian gods. The nations knew that Israel had a great God, that He was even more powerful than any other god. But yet, the people would learn about Israel's God in what way? Really by how the Israelites themselves lived. And so as the Israelites kept the law, the nations around would be able to testify that the Israelites, yes, they are a wise and an understanding nation. That they had a God who not only was powerful, who could deliver the nation from Egypt and all of their mighty forces, but also they served a God who was holy and righteous and wise. And so as Israel obeyed the law, they really reflected upon the nature of the God they served. Okay? It was a godly testimony. The nations could realize, yes, God cares about this people. God listens to their cries. He was so much different than the pagan idols, the pagan gods that the others served. And so we look at this. The law. It's more than just rules and regulations. You know, this is what I have to do. You know, yes, that's what it is, but it's more than that. It really is, as they keep the law, it's a reflection upon the holy nature of God. The nations all around would take notice. And so it's not just Israel's comfort and their quality of life that was at stake. It was God's very name, His very reputation, that would be affected by the Israelites' keeping of the law. And so their obedience or their disobedience really would affect how other nations and peoples would look upon the God, the true God of Israel. And so Moses here, he's encouraging the Israelites, keep the law, okay, not only for your own sake, but for the sake of all those that are looking and seeing how you're living. And Moses is saying, don't ever forget what you've encountered here in the wilderness. And don't ever forget what you saw on that mount. Whenever you saw, even as we read it here, the Lord spoke out of the midst of the fire on the mount. And how that really the Israelites trembled at that. The Israelites must never forget that. They had a personal encounter with God. And really that was a special revelation God gave to them. And so what were the Israelites to do? They had experienced something special. They weren't supposed to just keep that to themselves. What must they do? They must tell that to their children, to their grandchildren, communicate to them how great a God they serve and what He desires of them. Don't keep it from the younger generations. Don't lose it through the passing of time. Children and grandchildren must be taught concerning the nature of Almighty God. How holy He is. How loving and compassionate He is. Flip on over two chapters with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 now. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so, yes, God gave to Israel His law, and He expected them to keep His law. And really, as we look at it, that's the only way Israel would be blessed, if they kept the law. If they didn't keep it, then all these curses would come upon them. Now, the law, it has a good purpose. Now, granted, the Israelites never were saved by the law. They were saved by faith in God. They had to have a right heart relationship with Him. But the law was meant to do what? To guide them in their walk so that they would really be a holy and righteous nation like we saw before. So they must fear God. They must keep His commandments. That was true for the grandparents, the ones who had witnessed these incredible sights. The mount that was on fire with the holiness of God. Yes, it was true for the grandparents, but not only for them, it was true for the children. It was true for the grandchildren and for the children of the grandchildren, on down through the generations. And so, God has the same expectation, regardless of the generation. When we have the older generation obeying the Lord, okay, when we have the grandparents obeying the Lord, and then the grandparents encouraging the younger generations to, yes, do the same, what's the younger generation going to do? A lot of times, if the younger generation looks to the older generation and see that not only are they telling them certain things to do, but they're actually doing those things, a lot of times the younger generation is going to sit up and take notice, I need to do this as well. And that can go either with good or bad things. Okay? It's so very simple, so very profound here. You know, you need to keep the Lord's commands. You need to live in holiness and then pass it down to the younger generations. Tell them, this is the way life must be lived. Don't just say it with the words. Live it with your life and then say it with the words. Reinforce it. Don't don't just tell them sporadically, you know, whenever you think there's a problem going on. Well, I better tell my grandkids about this certain problem here. You know, you need to stay away from that now that you've already gotten into trouble. You know, don't just tell your grandchildren in a haphazard way as far as teaching them concerning God's Word, but use every opportunity. Even as we go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and this is a great concept here, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so the teaching of the younger generations, it has to be an everyday lifestyle habit. Okay? So whatever you're doing, really, that's the concept here. You know, teach these things to your children, and by application to your grandchildren. Speak of them when you're sitting down in the house, whenever you're walking by the way, whenever you're lying down, whenever you're rising up. Really, whatever is going on in your life, use every opportunity that you have to share with the younger generation, this is how the Lord wants you to live. This is His command. This is how you're going to be blessed by God. Godly instruction doesn't just happen at a certain place, say at church or at Sunday school. It doesn't happen just at one certain place or at one certain time. It's not just at 9:45 Sunday morning or 11 o'clock Sunday morning or 6 o'clock Sunday morning. Okay, no, it should be every single opportunity that comes along the way. Every single place that you may be can be a place where we can teach the younger generation what God has in His Word. So many opportunities. Teach them the Word of God. Take advantage of those times to do that. And so that's what God instructed the children of Israel to do. Good instructions here. But how long did it take before the children of Israel started going downhill? How long did it take them to ignore what God had told them? Didn't take very long, did it? Didn't take long at all. Only a matter of years before they were falling away from the law, falling away from God's truth. And as the older generation falls away from the truth, what happens to their kids? What happens to their grandkids? Most often, it gets worse, doesn't it? With each succeeding generation. The younger generations, they live in rebellion and sin. And as those younger generations live in sin, what are they going to teach their kids? The kids are going to take notice. You know, this is how mom and dad lives. Okay, they're disobeying against God. You know, they aren't teaching me what I need to know. And so the next generation is even worse oftentimes. And so instead of passing down what's good and what's holy, this is what God desires, really what you have passing down, you have wickedness and sinfulness. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And so as grandparents, keep in mind, and you've probably already realized this, okay, every moment really is a teachable moment, okay? The younger generation is watching you, okay, and they're going to learn something. Either they're going to learn something good from you, or they're going to learn something bad, or something somewhere in between, okay? They're going to pick something up, okay? So if they look at grandma or grandpa, or nana and papa, or however it goes, They're either going to see a godly example, and they're going to want to follow that godly example, or they're going to see someone that really doesn't care, or someone that is living a poor example. And they're going to pick up on that. They're going to take more notice of how you live your life than how you really teach them, okay, the words that you say. And really the best way to teach the younger generation, live the life, okay, live a life of holiness and then reinforce it by teaching them, this is how you need to do things. This is what God has said in His Word. What a privilege the older generation has to communicate the truths of God's Word to the younger generation. We want to go to the New Testament for one passage. Go ahead and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Truly, it's a wonderful thing to have a godly heritage within families. And as Paul thought about Timothy and worked his way up the family tree, You can thank God for a godly heritage. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And so we can praise the Lord whenever we have a godly chain within the family. Whenever we have a great-grandfather, and then a grandfather, and then the father, and then the son, and the grandson. All of them living for the Lord, passing down that godly heritage to the next generation. We can praise the Lord for that. That faithful testimony, men and women serving God in true obedience. What a blessing it is. Even as you grandparents can testify, what a blessing it is whenever you see your grandkids walking in the godly footsteps of the previous generation, whenever they're following your godly example, whenever they are following ultimately the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of this church, and specifically Nordville Baptist Church, we have a lot of grandparents here. Maybe you can't visit your own grandchildren as much as you would like. Maybe there's not that relationship there like you'd really want. But you know, it's a blessing to share with your grandchildren, isn't it? To share even experiences from your own life. Many of you have been Christians for how many years? In the decades that you've been Christians, you can share with your grandchildren not only the truth from God's Word as far as this is what you've learned in all those years, but you can share experiences from your own life. You know, I've gone through this struggle, and God has shown Himself to be faithful. Okay, I've had this spiritual victory in my life. Or you can even say, well, I've had this failure in my life where I've sinned, but look at this lesson I've learned from it. God is still faithful. You can learn from my example. Don't do what I did. So many opportunities to share with the younger generations spiritual victories, the faithfulness of God. All the things you can do with your grandchildren. Take time to pray with them. Take time to read the Word with them. Take time to have fun with them. Have godly fun. Show them what it is like to have godly fun. Okay? Show them what it means to live a godly life. And truly, we do appreciate our grandparents today. I can testify personally, I am very appreciative of my grandparents. As your grandparent this evening, do whatever you can to pass on that godly heritage. And even if you're a grandchild, if you're on the other end of the spectrum, be sure to appreciate your grandparents. Be sure, if they're a godly grandparent, to walk in their footsteps, to learn as much as you can from them. If you have a grandparent that perhaps isn't saved, you can share with them the gospel and pray for them that they too might be saved. As we look at the church at large, I think we can testify, we can see the fact that there has been kind of a failing to pass on a godly heritage from the older generation to the younger generation. And so many times, it seems like there's something missing there. And hopefully, that's not the case, you know, with this church, you know, as far as the grandchildren in this church. Hopefully, you can say, well, my grandchildren are living for the Lord, and praise the Lord for that. But when you look at the church at large, there seems to be something missing as far as the passing down from generation to generation. True biblical love, a love for God, a desire to live holy, a desire to be all out for God. But yet, we can pray for the young people. Because even though they may not have godly parents, even though they may not have godly grandparents, we can still pray for them. God can still change their hearts, and there can be a new beginning. There can be a parent who teaches their children, and then their grandchildren, how to live in godly fear, how to serve God in true holiness. And so I hope this is an encouragement to you. I hope it is even a challenge in some ways. They have a burden for the younger generations, because it is the younger generation that ultimately will be leading the church, that will be taking the roles of leadership, passing on a godly heritage. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'd even help us, even as we celebrate Grandparents' Day. I pray that you'd help us to have a true appreciation for those who have lived their lives so many years faithfully, for those who have taught their children the things of God, who are even teaching their grandchildren, great-grandchildren the things of God. I pray for our grandparents that you'd strengthen them and that you'd encourage them. Do even pray for the younger generations, that they might look to the older generations who are living for the Lord and follow in their godly footsteps. I pray that each one of us would be living our lives in such a way that we'd be setting examples to those who are watching us. I pray that we'd use every opportunity to be living our life for you, using those opportunities also to speak and to tell others, this is how God wants you to live. So I do pray that you'd help us with all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand as we close and turn to 379. 379, take my life and let it be.
I hope that you've even done what we've just sang as far as consecrating our life to Jesus Christ, surrendering our life. Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it as you please. May I be a godly influence on those I interact with, whether it be my family or my co-workers or my neighbors. May others look at me at the life I live and the words that I say, and may they have a desire to follow you, to live a godly life. May we each have a commitment to have a godly heritage that is passed down from generation to generation, so that those younger generations can know the things of God and have a desire in their heart to serve the Lord. Take my life and let it be.
Sing that final verse.
Take my love.
Close in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your word. May we pass it on. Son, daughters.